Hi, I'm Liz Cully, and welcome back to Cool, Cool, Cool. Each week, I give you a glimpse into what I think is cool and chat with a ton of people that are definitely cool. No topic is off bounds unless, I guess, it's not cool. Welcome to Cool, Cool, Cool. Emma, comments by celeb. Welcome to Cool, Cool, Cool.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I would also just like to say thank you for being a non, because as I said to you earlier, I pounded two hot dogs last night. And boy, guess what? Sodium at turning almost 39 years old doesn't hit the same way. I guasha'd this morning. I pulled out the new face. I'm like, girl, you just, oh my God, what a sad. It looked like I went out until 3 o'clock in the morning.
That sodium. Guasha post sushi is a serious job. You're doing that with intention. I know that.
Thank you. You know what the move is, though, is I have now I think it's steel guasha, and I put it in the freezer.
Ooh.
So it's ice cold. Mm.
I do that with the Skinny Confidential roller.
Yes, I do like that roller, too, but I dropped mine and broke it. So we're back. We're back just to the to see it. Well, luckily for me and for you, I did go on page 6 and it did not crash my computer. Do you ever have that problem with page 6 where it literally just like crashes your computer, or is it just me and my work computer that's just like not working?
I would say I exclusively view page 6 from clicking on a Twitter link. So I don't even think I've ever looked at page 6 on my computer. I only do it on my phone.
I wouldn't do it. I'm just warning you now. The fan immediately in my computer starts to just like rustle and get faster and faster, because I think it's just too much bullshit that page 6 is blessing us all with, that it like can't keep up in my computer. Like the fan goes, it gets hot. You know the whole drill. It's wild.
Yeah, it's an overload. I totally get it.
And then it's tough because I'm like, okay, well, what's going on in the world? We have lull days. We have big days. Yesterday was a big day. Diddy, on the anniversary of Ready to Die, which I think needs to be said for the millennials and the Gen Xers out there that are listening. His Miami and his LA house got raided. And I was like, you know, whatever. I'm very dedicated to my work, so I'm never on my phone during the day. But I'm like looking at this and I'm like, Diddy's houses are getting raided? Like, what did you think when you first stumbled upon that yesterday in your own feed?
I mean, listen, obviously there was a part of it that was shocking just because, you know, they're not fucking around with the two home raid, that Homeland Security, if they don't really know what they're doing. However, like, to me, this was inevitable. After we saw what went down with Cassie, there's been, I just think like the streets have been talking too loud now for something to not have come out in this way. I mean, the guy's bad news.
Bad news. I mean, I had a run-in with Diddy years ago. Fun fact about Liz Cully is I'm probably one of the only white girls to ever have hosted Revolt TV. And I went in, I know, fun fact. And I went in and I hosted, they would bring you in. They were looking for a replacement host, Sibley, who I believe went on to like E! Entertainment or something like that. They were looking for her replacement. And I, at the time, had Getting Nailed, which was my nail art show, and I was trying to sell it. And I had gone into Revolt a couple of times to have meetings, and they were like, you know what? You know so much about rap and R&B. You're so fun. I had just hosted the X Games. They're like, why don't you come in and host Revolt for a week? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, this is my dream, you know? It was so, that place was being held together by scotch tape. The guy who was putting, like, all my outfits together, I found him drunk and asleep in the costume closet.
Oh, wow.
My inner ears, like, didn't work. I was so spooked. Like, you're on live TV, like, they didn't prep you, but I'm like, oh my God, is this my moment? And when I went to audition, I looked at like when I or excuse me, rather, when I live auditioned, they didn't even like do a pre-record tape. They just put me on television. I looked out in the audience and I saw Diddy and I was like, oh my God. You know, needless to say, I totally fucking choked. Not a proud moment. I mean, my inner ear went out. Like, it was it's a long, long, long story. They did have me on for a couple of days. Live TV is no fucking joke. Monitors, inner ear, like people are talking to you, you're dealing with the like especially if you're in front of a live audience, I was completely ill-prepared. But I saw him recently after that. And we were at the D'Angelo concert and we were backstage. And I went up to him and I was like, hi, like, so nice to meet you. I'm Liz. Like, I think you saw me like literally last week. I was auditioning. He didn't even look up from his phone. But I have to tell you, the chilling air of, you know, when you meet some people, like whether they're a celebrity or not, and you're like, you are bad news, like you said.
Yes.
Diddy's bad news. Anyway, I mean, what a long-winded story, but there you go.
No. Well, no, I mean, that's a pretty firsthand account. I think one of the people feeling deeply validated in all of this is Aubrey O'Day, who since the early days, and if you saw what she was posting on Instagram this morning, she's like, I've been telling you guys, I have literally been telling you since, you know, making the band. And it's just, I don't know. It's very jarring to think about what some of these people saw and went through. And I just think that what's coming for him is not a good situation.
Well, and then also you like watch those clips of making the band with her specifically, and he's just a tyrant. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't age well. There's a lot of television that is not aging well, and that is definitely one of them. But now, I mean, the newest kind of update with Diddy is that, bless his heart, poor Haz, Prince Haz, like Harry, which I don't even, it doesn't seem like there is actually any real substantial connection here. One of the producers that, you know, had worked with Diddy for a long time, I guess, that was interviewed yesterday during the raids, had sort of mentioned, like, you know, Diddy's connections to celebrities and dignitaries, etc. And poor Prince Harry is named. And, you know, pictures have released of him. They're actually all, I think, contextually, sure, relevant in the sense that they, like, hung out together. But they're not real. Like, it's nothing. You can't, just because you are around, like, you could have taken a picture of me backstage at the D'Angelo concert talking to Diddy. And like, it would have been the same thing, right? Like, he was in proximity, they were hanging out. But I just feel like, poor Prince Harry, I am starting to feel badly for him, you know, with his wife trying to replicate Flamingo Estate, which is a very bougie, like honey and olive oil and direct to consumer vegetable box here in the hills of Los Angeles. Whilst his sister-in-law is obviously going through a very, you know, awful and sad medical journey. It's just like, oh my God. Like, now I'm starting to feel like with the royals, it's like, not only am I over it in terms of like being inundated with their personal stories, but I'm like, oh God, these poor people can't catch a break, you know?
Well, I just think that it's really interesting to realize that the palace is, and obviously, you know, Harry has separated himself from that, but that the PR strategy has not really caught up with our current age of media. And like, that is going to be interesting just to see that the way that that all plays out, because obviously something has to change. And on the other point of just, you know, what is even being, just like you said, that Page Six headline that came out this morning of Prince Harry being named, I think we are all going to have to, on some level, brace ourselves, because in what is going to be a very lengthy investigation, certain names will be mentioned, not even because they're necessarily relevant or there's anything substantial there, but they will be named. And I think the internet has done this thing now where the second there's the mention of a name, it's like all hell breaks loose. And there's going to have to be that period of like, okay, let's sift through what is relevant here and what is not at all.
I know. Well, you know, when you and I first chatted on the interwebs in my last show, I remember asking you, like, really, you know, how Comments by Celeb came around, how you really capitalized on this incredible, almost like subcategory of Instagram and Twitter, right? Which was the responses. What now it's become really, I would imagine, I don't want to say business, but it's like a whole other content creation is like how you comment back to someone. Can you work out a joke? How smart do you have to be, et cetera? And I think for a time, maybe there was, perhaps as the pandemic was kind of releasing its clench of all of us, people started to get a little sloppy with liking things, commenting things. But now I think it's ramped back up again, where it's definitely like people want to make sure that they're liking and commenting specifically. With stories like this on Page Six, or, you know, Just Jared or People or Us or whatever it is, do you think celebrities, like, because it becomes mindless when you like things. Do you think that they're being extra careful to not like stories surrounding the royals these days, especially in light of what just happened with, you know, kind of really unfortunately making way too many assumptions about Princess Kate? But do you think people are like very careful to not like comment on anything, on any coverage now of the royals?
Yes, but I would also say it's not exclusive to just the royals. I think in general, the people and celebrities, or at least their teams, recognize what can be viewed as like the weight of an Instagram like, which, like you said, to your average person can be very mindless. But unfortunately, when you're a celebrity, like, you don't get that luxury of it being mindless, because everybody always has the assumption that it is so well thought out, or that you're doing so purposely to be seen in that way. So I definitely think the way, that's why you'll hear so many celebrities talk about their burner accounts. I don't even think half the time it's because they want to look at something that they wouldn't be looking at otherwise, although I'm sure it is on stories. I think it's because it takes the anxiety out of scrolling through your newsfeed. Like, if you're Kim Kardashian, you have 300 million Instagram followers, throwing a rogue heart is not is not what it is if you're just, you know, scrolling with 100. So I think that absolutely, specifically with the royals. I mean, we saw with Blake Lively, you know, she had kind of just contributed to the internet conversation, joking about what was potentially going on with Kate. And then immediately, you know, came out with an Instagram story statement saying, I feel like an idiot. You know, I think in general, that was kind of a lesson just in getting wrapped up in internet conversation, ourselves included.
So when we do see comments that are so funny, like many of the ones that you just, you're doing the Lord's work by surfacing for all of us, whether it's on comments by Bravo, comments by celebs, et cetera, and your sports channel as well. Are those being written by comedy writers? Like, what do you think, generally speaking? Like, some of even the, you know, the greats, like Hillary Duff's husband, who I actually think he is doing his own Instagram because he's just like out there. But do you think it's comedy writers? Do you think it's social media managers? Do you think they're workshopping with the celebrity next to him? Do you think it's all of the above? I often wonder that.
It is definitely a combination. There are a lot of people that truly, like, for example, a Matthew Comey, Hillary Duff's husband, that's him. You know, there's a lot of people where truly it's them. There are other people that don't even have Instagram on their phone and it's entirely their teams running it for them. Or there are the people, like you said, where it's kind of that collaboration. And I mean, I know there are people where it's more of a collaborative effort. And I think, you know, it's funny. It's like, comments now, not only do they make headlines if it's something newsworthy, but also you can really be acknowledged for your humor if you do something funny. So, right. So I understand the idea of wanting to put some thought behind it. I know for a fact it's all of the above, because you can tell there's like a certain voice where it is just too contrived. There's no way it's organic. And then, you know, potentially it's trying to be pushed to be a featured, which obviously is not something we respond typically well to.
Right.
But there's plenty of just organic ones because, you know, celebrities can be funny on their own.
They can be. I mean, it's also interesting, you know, you just being, I'm so inside baseball, as are you. And, you know, I know a lot of writers, and I'm talking to one in an hour and a half who's amazing and coming out on her own now. I think there is, it can be kind of tough now. Like, there are all these writers that were, you know, writing either speeches or jokes. I mean, I think back to Brad Pitt during Once Upon a Time, and he was doing all those incredible speeches and we were all falling in love with him. And I remember being like, there's no fucking way that Brad Pitt is getting up there, especially amidst everything that's going on between with Angelina and his kids and getting sober and whatever, that he's getting up there and just like, they're like spreading gospel. Like, there's no way, you know what I mean? And of course it comes out later that he had this amazing speech writer. But do you think some of those writers that are doing these Instagram jokes are either people we might actually know to be comics, or, and, or if they're not, do you think they're like kind of like bummed that nobody, like nobody knows who they are?
I could absolutely be wrong. I don't think that it's gotten to the extent where there's like legit comedy writers that are helping with some of these. I truly don't. By the way, I think that if they were, they'd be funnier. Maybe well, that's what
there,
I think.
There it is, folks. There we go.
I think we haven't reached the threshold. However, like I always think back, and of course this is different because it's SNL, but when Kim Kardashian was hosting SNL and you saw in the episode, she met with Amy Schumer.
Yes.
Amy Schumer, she wasn't hiring her. She's her friend who's a comic who she was kind of consulting. That I certainly think is a thing. I certainly think if you're friends with Chelsea Handler and you want to leave a funny comment that you think is going to go viral on Martha Stewart's post, no problem asking her what she would comment. I think there's a lot of that going on, but I think it's more so the social media management teams and the PR teams.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of these people need better social media PR, specifically the royals. I mean, they've got, I can't help but think how cringy it is that Meghan Markle like started a brand and launched it on Instagram amidst all of, like, dude, are you for real? I don't know. I have a hard time because, you know, my father's from New Zealand. Like, I grew up during, like, peak Diana time. I loved the royals. I mean, I have such an affinity for it. I know it's a really archaic and, in some regards, ridiculous institution that, like, actually drains the people of England quite a bit of, like, taxes and money. And it's, like, all of these things. I can't help but watch it. But fucking Meghan Markle. Also, I'm just jealous because I want to live in Montecito and, like, not work. And I want to farm. And I want to garden all day. So clearly this is coming out from, like, white hot, like, jealousy rage. But I'm like, oh, my God, girl, come on. Like, don't create an Instagram account, like, during... You know what I mean? Feels a little uncouth, you know?
Yeah. So to be honest, Meghan has never bothered me in the way that I find she bothers a lot of people. Cause I'm just like, wow, you fucking did the damn thing. Like,
yeah, for real.
Like I got to give her props for that. And she, you know, so I have a lot of respect for her in terms of just general PR. It is not a good situation in any regard. Like I'm talking, I think a major overhaul is needed, which by the way, understandably is scary. If you've always, you know, it's completely understanding a whole new age of social media that I think it's a big undertaking.
I agree. I mean, she's no dummy. She's obviously a very smart woman and accomplished. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone's taking that away from her. She just hired Sweet Baby Jamie, who's an incredible stylist, to start styling her. And I couldn't agree more. I'm like, you have one of the most beloved It Girl stylists who's like best friends with Nicole Richie. I mean, like Sweet Baby Jamie is like LA born and bred. For those that don't know, that's her Instagram handle. That's the only way I can think of her. Jamie Mizrahi, she's incredible. She's like California chic girl. I think she went to Harvard Westlake, like so LA. She needs to ask Jamie for a PR social media team. I also wish that I could be so like lucky to pass on my social media to somebody. You know, I'm out here being an idiot. I just post like R&B and like 90s rap videos and like stupid fucking memes about how tired I am all the time. Like, whew, what a way to live, you know?
No, there's something that does feel kind of freeing about being like, you know what? It's in your hands now. At the same time, though, I don't know. I don't know if I could be one of those people that doesn't, you know, if I was really up there that didn't even have the app on my phone, I think there would need to be a certain level of control.
Yeah, well, because you're an entrepreneur and a control freak, and so am I. So there, that really, you know what I mean? That tracks. There's also like, speaking of kind of what you've built, which is Comments by a Celeb, you've got Comments by Celeb, celebs, sort of traditional. Then you've got Comments by Bravo. And Bravo is such a juggernaut. I mean, that has become such an insane business, not only for NBCU, but like also for all the content creators that live in the Bravo sphere. It's also very messy. I know it intimately. Who has better comments? Especially because it is a little bit messier. Is it the curated, funny, like celebs that sometimes might have a couple of cocktails and get a little messy? Or is it like just the slopopotamus nature that is Bravo? Like what are you seeing that are better comments?
I mean, listen, on the rare occasion, will a celebrity give you something that is so exceptional? Yes. But on the whole, It's Bravo. I mean, it's because they don't have that same, they don't take it as seriously. So you're never going to find out the level of tea from a celebrity via the comment section that you are from a Bravo celebrity. They have no problem. It's not all these channels typically that it has to go through to dispel a rumor. They see that Page Six posted something that's not true, that they don't like. They're the first ones in there fighting with a troll.
Right.
And is it the most, is it refined? No. Is it amazing in terms of going absolutely viral? Yes. And can you know for 100% fact that it is them? Yes. You know, and so to me, in terms of like, as a consumer, what I find to be the most interesting, it's definitely that, because I know for a fact it's them. And I know that they're down to go to the nitty gritty.
Well, I mean, Kyle commented on Morgan's Instagram, I think it was yesterday, save a horse, ride a cowgirl. And I'm like, Kyle, do you think she's just like now playing with us, or like, what do you that's a comment, that's a post, you know what I mean? That's like, really, yeah. That's saying something. I mean, what do you think there?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think, first of all, she's 100% playing into it, because Kyle, at the end of the day, is, first of all, an actress from childhood. Like, she is, I always say, she's more familiar with fame than she is then she's more familiar with fame than not, but then with not having it. And so, sure. I think, yes, of course, on some level, does all of the speculation become overwhelming? Yes. But let's be clear. She loves it. She loves doing this. She is all in on being someone that is the source of conversation. And by the way, I love that for her. Like, I'm a little bit of a Kyle apologist. However, with the Morgan thing, I think both things are true. I think now everyone's talking, so at least let's give them something to talk about. And also, I fully think it's happening. I mean, there's nothing 100%. You can say to convince me that they're not. Those two are fucking. Like, that's just what's happening.
I mean, we love this in the lesbian space, because I'm like, get it, Kyle, do you? I mean, Mauricio is also obviously no stranger to drawing attention to himself, his marriage, his issues with Kyle's, his business. He obviously now has a spinoff show. The woman who I think is still alive that I pray to, that I have had the most amazing interactions with, we have so many overlapped friends and family. I've said it many times here on Cool, Cool, Cool. I've said it on many other podcasts, but Paris Hilton truly is one of the smartest, loveliest people. I've said it like to the point where at this point, if it has gotten back to her, which it probably has, I now look like a stalker, and I'm fine with that. It's a little awkward in the sense that, again, we have a lot of overlap people, so that could be weird, but I don't care. But her, you know, I think, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, where she was basically like, Mauricio, stop fucking talking about my, like, I'm over it. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but she was really came out, and that was like clearly her, I think, on the internet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's also where I love the comments. Like, I know, like, she's typically, you know, also somebody who understands social media, PR, marketing legitimately better than anyone on the planet. I mean, she, like, I think can also be attributed to, like, creating modern day PR, paparazzi, etc. No argument there. But I mean, to finally just be like, shut the fuck up. I mean, I loved it. I lived for it. I know people, Mauricio is like beloved because he's kind of this buffoon stoner, but I did find, especially because I too have to toggle the line of like public, inside baseball, business, etc., to sit there and like go through numbers about Hilton and Hyland and like really, I don't know, like I thought her comment was justified, but I sort of loved that Paris Hilton took the gloves off and was like, don't fucking say my name in your mouth. What did you think? Were you shocked when you saw it?
I mean, that was like a holy shit moment when we saw that comment. Yes. And we can put the link in this episode description. I'll send you the post, the link to our post in case anyone didn't see it. I have to backtrack for a second. I am so glad to hear that you feel this way about Paris Hilton, because
I fucking love Paris Hilton.
So do I. And I assume you watched Paris in Love.
Yeah. Well, and I know Carter. So like he comes from the loveliest family. Like his cousin is one of my, Jay, I love you. You're the best. Like Elaney. Like, no, I like know these people. They're lovely. Also, Emma, I had this like crazy experience years and years ago where Charlotte Tilbury had like first come to the States. She was just opening up like her brands at the time, and her brand manager, I was working in beauty and we were doing this big like convention in New York and Paris Hilton was our keynote speaker. And Charlotte Tilbury was coming and Paris wanted to do kind of like a welcome party for the festival. It was called BeautyCon and I used to like run partnerships there. And I was like, oh my God, Charlotte, this would be an amazing opportunity for you to like meet Paris. You know what I mean? Like whatever. So again, like iconic, Charlotte Tilbury herself was not there or I would actually be dead and we wouldn't even have this podcast because there is actually no greater person on the internet that I've ever loved more than Charlotte Tilbury. A tale for another time. But I was tasked. We were like trying to get someone to go over and bring all these gift bags to the party for Paris. And I was going to go, but like, again, we're like doing this. It was just like chaos. And much like in all startups, there was no one to fucking do it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking just go do it. So I like call up the brand manager at Charlotte Tilbury. I'm like, hey, meet me. This is like her address. So we meet at Paris Hilton's iconic, it's all over her social media, you've seen pictures, Soho apartment. And it's and I'm like thinking in my mind that she's not going to be there. There'll probably be an assistant. I'll just like drop everything off, go back to the hotel, get ready. That is not what happened. I walk in, Paris opens up the door. Paris fucking Hilton. This is years ago too, when she was with that other, she was engaged to that other guy. He's in her house flying a drone, which is like, what? I walk in, she couldn't be lovelier, gives me a hug. She's like, hey, I'm just getting glammed, like make yourself at home. And I'm like, okay. But like the person from Charlotte Tilbury is running late. I spent 4.5 hours, me, Paris, her glam, and her now ex-fiance shooting the shit, talking for hours, literally like not, I mean, couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been cooler. Couldn't have been lovelier. I go back to my hotel room being like, oh my God, I actually called Leah McSweeney. And I was like, oh my God, Leah, I've been like kicking with fucking Paris Hilton in her Soho apartment all day long. And she like couldn't be the fucking more chiller. Cool. Like a stranger just in the house chilling. I'm like doing gift bags. Finally Charlotte Tilbury's stuff came. I'm like making the gift bags on the floor sitting with Paris Hilton. I've never met her before. It's just like the four of us. Come back. And let me tell you, that woman, she took a fucking picture with every, opened up her house, took a picture with every single person. I had never really used like ring light, like mirror ring light. That was like before it kind of became like the Kardashians. It was, Kardashians were like using it, but it wasn't what it was like now. She's like teaching me mirror. Emma, I'm telling you right now, Paris Hilton is fucking a genius. The nicest person. She came, she partied until like 3 a.m. Came, she was early for her meet and greet, stayed the entire time and did not fucking leave until every single person in line got a photo and she hugged them the whole time.
I know you guys can't see me, but my jaw was on the floor throughout that.
The nicest person, the smartest person, shows up on time, is not fucking late. Like, I can't explain to you how much that speaks volumes of someone's character.
I just want you to know how like deeply I am receiving this because that's how I've always, no, truly, that's how I've always felt her to be. That's how I've always heard she's, I don't think that you can exist in the way that she has in media for this long unless you are truly, you know, do it, talking the talk, walking the walk. Like she does the damn thing. And I am continually impressed by her work ethic, really. And I just was so fascinated on Paris in Love because the way she operates is unlike anyone I have ever seen. And while there is so much chaos, she always ultimately gets it done with so much class and grace. And yeah, I'm fascinated by her. So I love hearing that story is exactly as you would hope it would be.
Yeah. And I just kind of love the fact that she's like still very much, I mean, Paris is so big, especially in terms of her her like ancillary businesses and other markets and other, I mean, that's also like, that could be a whole fucking podcast. I mean, she really has like her own, I mean, incredible amount of employees and people working for her. But I just like that she was like, no, I'm going to tell Mauricio what the fuck is what. I love the crossover of Kathy. I love just the crossover. Obviously, Kyle has been on the show for so long. Kim is fucking a legend, bless her heart. The crossover of those families, and I can't help but think, at least with Kathy, even though I've heard a million times over, it's Kathy doing Kathy, and I love Kathy not understanding the internet. And her comments like, Paris, call me, or like, hi, honey, I'm trying to call you. I mean, those are just like iconic comments on the internet.
Yeah.
I think there is this crossover, though, with Paris in the background, her influence of being sort of like the first person to really break through the wall and have like a dialogue with her fans via the press and whatever medium that is, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? And she's very aware of that. Like, she never, I don't think she ever forgets about not only her OG status, but also the way that in a lot of ways she paved the way. And I can, to me, it always comes across as not at all conceited, just a real acknowledgement and understanding of her role in the greater pop culture landscape and social media landscape. And I have like nothing but respect for that.
Who do you see commenting all the time, though? Like, who is a comment frequenter, whether, and it could be maybe Bravo and regular celebs. Who are you like, this person is fucking commenting all the goddamn time?
Well, I think the most underratedly supportive person in Hollywood is Octavia Spencer.
First of all, literally written down here on my notes, Octavia Spencer. That is so funny that, well, one, I talked about her on SiriusXM. She fucking reached out to me. She follows me. She comments on everything. She is 100% doing her social media. I have talked to her in the DMs. She does every birthday post for every celebrity that has ever existed, inclusive of executives at networks.
Yes. And also, forget about the ones she's posting herself. She is in those comment sections. Someone got a role, a promotion of this. And it is 100% authentically her, which I think people sometimes doubt. But like, I'm telling you, it's her, as you know as well.
No, so it's 100% her. She's the nicest person on the planet. Poppy Parnell for president. I loved that fucking show so much. I'm desperate. I literally did the thing that I don't do that often and I should probably do more of. I did it when I was younger, but like I begged her. I'm like, please come on. Cool, cool, cool. She said yes. Unfortunately, the show did not get renewed. Who knows? Octavia, if you're listening, which you might actually be, we love you. Emma, we stand for you. And also, please come on. Cool, cool, cool. She's everywhere. She's the nicest fucking person ever.
Yeah, I'm so glad you have that read too. That's exactly, I've never met her personally, but that is exactly the vibe that I get.
Who from Bravo is constantly, well, other than, I don't know, who would be? Lala Kent is probably the comments the most, no?
I would say Katie more than Lala in terms of Vanderpump. But, you know, you're never too far away from a Vicki Gunvalson comment. You're never too far away from a Tamra Judge reply. It's with Bravo, it's constant because I think there's this, and I'm so grateful that it's like this, but there's this real need to respond in real time. Whereas celebrities, people can say whatever. And most of the time, unless a PR person is coming out with an official statement or they're putting up a notes app story, or they're directly deciding that they're going to respond to that one troll. Like Megan Fox recently on Call Her Daddy said, you know, sometimes I just say, fuck it, I'm going to respond. But it's more intentional, where there's no intentionality typically with Bravo talent. It's like they see it and there's a direct response. So it's all of them. It's that list is long.
I know, I do. Shout out to my bestie Sutton. Sutton really is the best of all time, I can confirm. But she let her comments to me sometimes, I'm like, what are you? I mean, no one's clearly seeing this, but this is like making me die laughing. Heather, who I adore, who I'm also quite close with, who we all know I love so much, she definitely used to comment all the time, but bless her heart, I think what a fucking last 9 months that she's had. She's sort of chilled off the internet, which I can understand. It's a wild time in the Bravo sphere. I mean, we saw that this week. Potomac is having quite a bit of a shift, shakeup. I think it'll be really interesting how New York continues to evolve. I'm sort of sitting on, like, I wouldn't say pins and needles, quite frankly, but I'm really interested to see how New York, kind of the new, like, who comes back and who doesn't. I think we're all waiting to see if Jenna comes back or not. I think that was sort of a fun lesbian crossover that we had. I read recently, and I don't know if it's a rumor, but Miami is having like a shift in casting. And that's my favorite one.
I know, to me, I wouldn't touch. The only thing I would do for Miami is make Kiki a full-time housewife.
100%. Hands down.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch anything else. I don't know, because this week there was a lot of those rumors. And has the Potomac stuff been confirmed?
Yes. Robin dipped, Candace dipped. Or Candace is on pause.
That's a big deal.
I know. I'm the only thing I can say for Miami, Kiki, that would be my one. Kiki is the fucking best. Like, incredible. She was just on John Hill's podcast. She's so funny. She's so, her story is really inspiring. She's really fucking smart. She's obviously stunning. I like that Bravo has been relaxing on this sort of archaic rule that, like, your children, I mean, Sutton and I talked about it when she was a friend of for the first season, that, like, Bravo was really staunch that, like, her children and her ex needed to be included to be kind of like a full housewife. And I'm glad that those kind of quote rules are being relaxed, because sometimes, like with Akiki is a perfect example, we don't need, I didn't even know she had children until this past season. And like, that's okay. Like, that's, I'm okay with some semblance of privacy. Like, I don't need it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, whatever. The only thing I'm really having a hard time with is Adriana. I know she's great TV, but like, she needs a talking to. I mean, actually, I say all of this, and like, watching her lip sync in Mexico City for Pride was so weird. And the Emilio, I mean, she's hanging on by Emilio Estefan's like goatee is really what
yeah.
it is.
You know, the thing with Adriana is like, I can recognize that she has contributed to making great TV. And I am so appreciative to her, for example, for filming, like when she did ketamine and she had yes. that whole therapy session. Like, I appreciate her vulnerability. However, she's trying too hard to do too much. And I think I actually think it does a disservice to the franchise in general, because it makes it more performative than it needs to be. Like, there's already a certain level of performative that's going to happen on Bravo shows, but whether she's reading the poem from Marisol's liver or reading that poem last time, to me, that's not what I consider great TV. And I think she can make it without going that hard. And when it gets that produced, I don't know, to me, I just find it so inauthentic.
Yeah. And I also just think she gets really nasty. And I think, like, listen, I understand that a lot of Bravo fans like that. I think, you know, you guys do a really great job of comments by celeb, like by reporting on what is being said, but it never feels nasty or mean, or like, I think you really can celebrate a little banter back and forth or criticism, but it, you like, you guys aren't posting like awful, like back and forth mean. That's not the vibe that I get, right? I think it's pretty celebratory. With housewives generally, when it starts to get like nasty, like they've got to be friends. I think that's why Utah was having a rough go for a second, because nobody was really communicating or being friends. And like, we don't at the end of the day want to see that. And that's why I like love Miami, because I do think a lot of the girls at the end of the day like each other or are friends. But I mean, Marisol and Alexia, I mean, it's just too good. I just love that franchise so much. And so when I saw that, I was like, no, don't do it. But yeah, we shall see. And now I can't keep up. There's too many Bravo shows. I mean, there's apparently every season of a home. Apparently people don't work and they can have spring, summer, fall, winter houses. Bless them all. I just always knew it to be Summer House. And now I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, I can't. It's too much. There's only so much television. And of course, now I have other incredible, just enlightening television, like Couple to Thruple, or, you know, ooh, Twin Love, which was very underrated. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught any of Twin Love, but it was peak TV, in my opinion. So,
does that mean you don't watch Summer House?
No, but also I'm friends with Hannah Burner. And I love Paige too, but like, I just like stopped. I didn't have a great interaction with a cast member that I'm sure you can all deduce because we interviewed him. He was a dick to me and he like fucked her. I just like got a really bad taste in my mouth from the Summer House crew. So I don't watch it.
I totally understand that. Although I will tell you, this season specifically, just with the Carl and Lindsay, is absolutely wild television. Just well, from the sole perspective.
Of what? Him being a piece of shit? And I said it, not you. And that's who I was talking about. I mean, I just like that guy is a fucking, I don't know. I mean, I am actually very curious because I'd like to see her perspective. I don't know her because I haven't watched the show. So I've only just seen like the reporting that they were together. And then like he called off the wedding pretty soon on and she was devastated, which all that stuff like sucks. Do you know what I mean? Like awful. But I am, you know what, Emma? I am curious to watch this season only because I'm like, how did you, girl? Like, I'm curious to see who she is because I feel badly for her. You know what I mean?
It's so funny hearing you say this because the perspective I think of people who watch that would be listening to this is like, I'm, you know, something to the effect of like, oh no, you're getting it so wrong. Like she was, has been and is awful. And he is kind of, he only had a choice, which was to call off the wedding. I actually think what we, the thing is that both can be true. Like I think sometimes the other person gets put on such this pedestal because like Lindsay's behavior is objectively terrible, like just objectively insufferable, zero redeeming qualities there. However, like I don't think that automatically makes Carl this unbelievable fiance. I think they can both kind of suck in their own ways.
I would say this as somebody who has no like skin in the game, who has not watched it, I would say that they you can't, there's never, to your point, my assumption about her, let me back up. My assumption about her was that she couldn't have been great, or she definitely wanted to be on television to like accept a proposal from him. But I think sometimes you got to be just as bad as the other person to be in it. And that is just my, and again, here I am. I have not seen anything. Who knows? What do I know? But I'm like, oh God. So, okay, maybe you've convinced me. The problem is like, I've got to convince my wife. We have one television in the house. It took years to convince her to watch any Housewives. Literally, I haven't seen, and I always feel so bad. Like I tell, like Sutton's always like, well, you know what happened? Like kind of like as if I know. And I always look at her and I'm like, honey, you and I talk more in text messages. Like I've never watched, this is a true statement, I have watched one episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in 7 years. Like, I don't know that franchise, which I know is blasphemous and insane. But I have to convince Rachel of the TV because I only have one TV. And, like, we pretty much watch TV together. She loves Salt Lake, loves Miami, loved Traitors, which we're big MJ fans in this household. God. Well, and I just, I really liked that show. I liked the format of it. Twin Love, Couple to Thruple. I've gotten her on. Love is Blind. She shot down immediately. She's like, these people are assholes. I can't, Vanderpump, if you can believe it, I've actually never watched an episode of Vanderpump Rules in my entire lifetime. I did try to get her to watch The Valley and she refused. Last night I was like, should we try this? You know, we know this person on here. Maybe it'll be, absolutely not. She was like, watch the trailer. She said no. So Summer House, can I watch the one singular season or would I have to start from the beginning? Because that's going to be a very tough sell in this household.
I was going to say with this particular season, you can start from this season. Give a little background on Carl and Lindsay that they're engaged, that they've been friends for many years. You can start from this season. It's not, you're not going to get as, of course, a full understanding of it, but you're literally watching to see some of these fights go down. And whether you have all the background info or none of it, it's almost just as interesting.
Got it. Okay.
I promise you, you will enjoy this season. It is so Carl and Lindsay centric in a way that like, even if you do not give one singular fuck about Bravo, and I know you do, but even if you are someone who doesn't, like it's just factually interesting. I literally said to my therapist last time, I was like, have you been watching Summer House? Like, I would love to talk about it just from a psychological perspective. And she hadn't gotten there yet, but I'll get her there.
Well, and my wife's a therapist.
Okay, well then, oh my God.
Which is why actually watching Twin Love was so fascinating because that is just like, that's just like psychology TV. I mean, that's yeah. Like anxious attachment. Like, I mean, it was very interesting. Since the algorithm has changed, we know like we can't see kind of people's activity like we used to. How has that, like, how do you find the comments now? Like, how do you do it? I've got to know. I mean, I just can't imagine. Is it just because you have to be kind of watching, or your team, obviously, looking at what's happening all the time? Or, like, Is it your followers sending you stuff in goodwill? Like, what is the process like?
I mean, listen, there's a lot of us looking kind of because we know where to look. So if, let's say, The Rock posts an Instagram that we feel there's going to be, it's probable there are going to be some good celebrity comments on, we'll save that post and we'll come back to it a couple times throughout the day. So I think we have a good, you know, we have our finger on the pulse in terms of what posts could potentially spark comments. However, our followers are unbelievable. They send us shit that we would have never seen otherwise.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like continually grateful for them, because think about it. You have 1.7 million followers. That's 1.7 million eyes out there. So they're seeing a lot of things. We can't follow everyone. A lot of the times, you know, they're on these obscure meme accounts that we don't even know exist. And those are sometimes some of the best ones. So it's certainly a combination. To say we do it all ourselves would just be untrue.
Is there any one to watch in terms of their comment game?
I will forever, my answer to that question, and it's not really one to watch because she's, to me, she's always one to watch and always has been, but no one does it better than Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart is someone who is unhinged in the best way possible. She has given us some of our most viral posts. And I always tell people, there's a difference between at Martha Stewart and at Martha Stewart 48. At Martha Stewart is the brand account. At Martha Stewart 48 is completely herself. She's on that phone. She's unhinged. It's some of the best content you'll ever see.
I love you more and more every time we interact. I really do. I will say this. There is no, and Taylor Strucker and I talked about this at length a long time ago. There is no one I'd rather party with than Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart in her 70s, giving absolutely zero fucks in Bedford, New York, hanging out with the gays, doing like brand deals at her parties, showing up in Page Six, is really who I aspire to be. It's as I approach 40, who I'm becoming. Also somebody that apparently can't eat salt or dairy of any kind, but really eyes on the prize is like being in your 70s, giving zero fucks, having a gorgeous facelift, which like, yes, snaps, kudos, all the things. Like, I thought, you know, the one thing I will comment on Megan Fox on Call Her Daddy, did I watch just to see what she has done plastic surgery wise or other? I love that she wasn't, she was going down this, did you watch or listen to the episode?
Yeah.
She's going down, she's going down, we're getting all the information, and then she gatekeeps the one and only thing that she's done to her body that she said was the best thing she's ever done. I have now reversed back into, and the fact that she talked about how she had no body fat no less than 35,000 times in that episode, I have reversed back into not being able to stand Megan Fox, even though she is arguably one of the most attractive people I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. But Martha Stewart is the North Star. And I love you, Emma, for that, because it's like the Kathy Hilton thing. It's just like, it's real commenting. It's like real, like, you know, first thing that comes to mind, which I just, I love those old days of the internet. I don't love my old weird, like, hipstamatic filter, Liz Cully, but like some of the comments, like my friend Sarnie and I will go back and I'll look and I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck were we saying to each other on the internet? You know?
Yes, of course. We all have that. Also, I am so sorry. My therapist is texting me. I'm now 6 minutes late for her.
And with that, I love you and goodbye.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for having me. I adore you every time I get to see you. And this is so fun.